الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. I ask Allah to grant us the sincere intentions and the good endings. We start talking about the type of apostasy, الردة. The author said, it is obligatory upon every Muslim to preserve his faith in Islam and protect it against whatever invalidates, abolishes, and interrupts it, namely apostasy, الردة. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from it. The meaning of what An-Nawawi and others said is, apostasy is an abhorrent type. I don't want to say the most abhorrent type of blasphemy, and I don't want to say an abhorrent type of blasphemy. It is an abhorrent type, of course, of blasphemy. It doesn't give an extra meaning. Yeah, we'll think about it, inshallah. The explanation: in certain issues, apostasy affects the person in a way more severe than the original blasphemy. When one apostatizes, commits apostasy, one loses all the good deeds that he did before that, and they do not come back to him afterwards, even if he goes back to Al-Islam. What An-Nawawi and others said, الردة أفحش أنواع الكفر, they did not mean by that that apostasy is the worst type of blasphemy. Sometimes that depends on the type of apostasy and the type of original blasphemy. Sometimes apostasy is worse, and sometimes the original blasphemy is worse. It depends on the type of each one. But he wanted to emphasize how ugly it is, because it is leaving the truth to falsehood. Leaving Al-Islam, which is the truth, the straight path, to blasphemy, which is false. The worst type of blasphemy is the saying of the atheists who negate the existence of Allah, of God, who say the life is only by nature. This is the worst type of blasphemy, the creed of the communists and other atheists. So the worst type of blasphemy is what the atheists say and what the people of Al-Wahda say. Those are the people who say that Allah is the universe and the universe is Allah, to a point that they might address someone by saying, you are Allah and the wall is Allah, etc. And the saying of the people of Al-Hulul, those who claim that Allah dwells in the humans, the human beings. Those three types of apostasy is the worst types of blasphemy. Those three types are the worst types of blasphemy. So if one was a Muslim and then he became a blasphemer by cursing Allah or the Prophet, he blasphemes by that, but his blasphemy is not worse than the blasphemy of the atheist. Both will remain in hellfire forever if they do not repent. But the apostasy of the one who curses Allah is not worse than the blasphemy of the one who is an atheist. Now, if one apostates by becoming an atheist or by adopting the creed that Allah and the universe are one, this apostasy is worse than the one who likens Allah to the creation. So, depending contingent upon the type of blasphemy or apostasy, one would say this is worse than that. Among those who claim to be Muslims and really truly they are blasphemers is a group called Al-Yashrutiyya. They claim to be a branch of Al-Shadhiliyya. Sometimes they say that the universe is Allah and Allah is the universe. Sometimes they say that Allah dwells in them, in their bodies. They are blasphemers. Be warned against them. Those people deviated from the route of the true people of Tariqah. Those people deviated from the route of Shaykh Ahmad al-Rifa'i, Shaykh Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, Shaykh Abil Hassan al-Shadhili, and the like. Al-Junaid, who is the head of the Sufis, said, "At-Tawheed ifradul qadimi min al-muhdath," which means the true belief in the oneness of Allah is based on differentiating between the eternal, who is Allah, and what has a beginning, which is everything other than Allah. So for one to have the proper tawheed, one needs to believe that the universe is created with a beginning and is not God. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the creator without a beginning. The author said, "In this age, it has become common to speak carelessly to the extent that some people utter words which turn them out of Islam without even deeming such words sinful, even though they are blasphemous." The explanation: in this age, many people, they utter blasphemous statements without them thinking that those statements take them out of Islam. Even they do not think that they are sinful by uttering those statements. Uttering such statements for them is like drinking a sip of water. It does not make one blasphemer and it does not entail a sin. Those statements for them are like that. Some of those people, if they hear someone uttering such words, they would tell them, "Stop committing blasphemy." And despite that, they consider them, they are still Muslims, out of ignorance. The author said this is asserted by the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person may utter a word that he thinks harmless, which results in his falling the depth of 70 years into hellfire. This falling distance of 70 years leads to the bottom of hellfire, where only blasphemers will reside. This hadith was related by At-Tirmidhi, who classified it as Hasan. This hadith shows that if the person utters intentionally a blasphemous statement, then he blasphemes. Whether he knows that this is a blasphemous statement, whether he knows that the one who utters this statement blasphemes or not, whether he intends to blaspheme or not. Because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned in the aforementioned hadith that one might utter a word that he thinks harmless. He does not know that it is a blasphemous statement. He does not know that he blasphemes by it. Still, because of this statement, he falls in hellfire to its bottom. And the bottom of hellfire is a place where only blasphemers are tortured. The sinful believer who is tortured in hellfire does not reach the bottom of hellfire. Only the blasphemers reach that area. Al-Bukhari and Muslim related a hadith with a similar meaning. إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مَا يَتَبَيَّنُ فِيهَا يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي النَّارِ أَبْعَدَ مِمَّا بَيْنَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, which means one might utter a word without knowing the consequences of uttering it. Because of that, he falls in hellfire for a distance farther than what's between the east and the west. The hadith of At-Tirmidhi is an interpretation of the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This hadith is an evidence that it is not a condition for a person to fall into blasphemy that he must have learned the judgment of the uttered blasphemous words, or that he must have liked or believed their meaning as falsely stated in the book called Fiqh al-Sunnah. Some people nowadays opened for others a large gate for blasphemy. Some people nowadays are saying if one utters a blasphemous statement, he has to believe in it, intend to blaspheme, and feel delighted about it for him to become a blasphemer, which means according to the false statement, if one does not feel delighted by saying the blasphemous statement and does not believe in it and does not intend to blaspheme, he does not become a blasphemer by uttering that statement. Those people are belying Al-Quran, belying the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, and opening for the people a gate of blasphemy. No one among the scholars of Ahl-Sunnah said such statement. Those deviant people did not take their statement from the sayings of Ahl-Sunnah. Those conditions, false conditions, were mentioned first by a Shi'i person among the faction called Al-Zaydiyya, the Zaydis. This man authored an explanation of a book. In this explanation, he mentioned those false conditions. Later, this man lived like 200 years ago, a little bit more than 200 years ago. Some people nowadays, ignorant people, they copied from his book those wrong statements and they spread it. By that, they deviated from the religion of Islam and they caused for others to go out of Islam, wal-iyadhu billah. Among those people who copied this false statement of Ash-Shawkani, a man called Sayyid Sabiq, in one of his books called Fiqh al-Sunnah. So be warned against that. The saying of the Prophet, the aforementioned saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, clearly clarifies that the statement of Sayyid Sabiq is false, because according to the hadith, one might not know the consequences of uttering a blasphemous statement, so he would not be intending to go out of Islam, because he does not even know that this is a blasphemous statement. And despite that, once he utters it, he deserves to fall into hellfire, to the bottom of hellfire, which means he becomes a blasphemer. So if someone utters a blasphemous statement while knowing what it means, its meaning, and then you tell him or her, this is a blasphemous statement, now you become a blasphemer. Now, by that, you became a blasphemer. If he tells you, no, that depends on one's intention, I did not intend to become a blasphemer, reply to him, the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam makes it clear that the intention does not affect the judgment in this case. So it is better for you to go back to al-Islam, say al-Shahada. Many people among those who call themselves scholars, while they are not scholars, they are not even one half of one tenth of one eighth of one seventh of one sixth of a scholar. Many of them, they copy from the books of al-Shawkani without even knowing that al-Shawkani is Shi'i. He is not among Ahl-Sunnah. They don't know. Those people are like the one who gathers wood at night. The one who gathers the wood at night doesn't see what's there. So there might be a snake that bites him without him knowing. Those people are like that. The author said, anger is not an excuse for one to escape the judgment of falling into blasphemy. Concerning this matter, Imam An-Nawawi said, if a man was angry with his child or young slave and hit him severely, then another person asked him, how could you do this? Aren't you a Muslim? And to that, his deliberate answer was, no, he blasphemed. This was said by Hanafi scholars as well as others. This means that anger is not an excuse when one utters blasphemous statement. If one gets angry and because of that he steals another person, he might steal. If someone gets angry and because of that he steals from another person or robs another person, does the ruler say, it's okay, you are angry, it's okay? No. If someone gets angry and kills another person, do the judge say, well, this man was angry, let him go? No, he doesn't say that. Now, the sin of blasphemy is worse than stealing and killing. So, more so, anger is not an excuse for one to be relieved from being judged as a blasphemer when one utters a blasphemous statement. Allah said in Al-Quran, وَلَقَدْ قَالُوا كَلِمَةَ الْكُفْرِ وَكَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِسْلَامِهِمْ, which means they said the blasphemous statement and by that they are judged to be blasphemers. Allah did not say except if they were angry. So anyone who says except if one is angry, as if he's saying Al-Quran is not enough, I need to add to it to become correct. And this is blasphemy, of course. This is why many scholars mentioned examples about uttering blasphemous statements while angry And they explicitly mentioned that this is blasphemy. Several Hanafi scholars and Nawawi among the Shafi'is and others mentioned an example. They said if someone hits his child or his slave severely, another person sees him, so he says to him, "How do you do that? Aren't you Muslim?" Which means a Muslim doesn't hit like that, doesn't do that. "Aren't you Muslim?" And to that, the other one answers out of anger, "No." They said, in this case, the one who said no blasphemes, although he was angry. There is another example. So one among the old Hanafis people, his wife sent to him something with a female slave that they had at home. That slave took long time to get back to her, to go back to her. So the wife became jealous. When her husband came back home, she said, "Why did she take long time to get back? What was between you and her? What happened?" He said, "Nothing." She said, "Yes, something happened between you two." He said, "No." She said, "Yes." He said, and she was angry. He said, "Do you know al-ghayb? Do you know the unforeseen?" Out of her anger, she said, "Yes, I know." When she said that, he sent that case as a question to a famous Hanafi scholar at the time. He is the student of the student of Abu Hanifa. When he read the case, he answered, "Make a new marriage contract, that is after she goes back to al-Islam, because she blasphemed by that." He did not say that because she was angry, then she is excused, because anger is not an excuse. Zufar. The name of the student of Abu Hanifa is Zufar. Let us stop here for now. Allah knows best. Do you have any questions?
Which book is that last case mentioned in? Which book is that last case mentioned in, the Hanafi one?
Al-Bazzaziyya. Al-Bazzaz.
So when he said, "Ijaddid al-Nikah," does that mean this took longer than three tuhur?
No, because in the Hanafi school, if any of the two spouses commit blasphemy, then that's it. The nikah is immediately invalidated. So they need to renew it. In the Hanafi school, immediately. The iddah doesn't have anything to do. Yeah, immediately it is breached.
Barakallah.
Wa fikum. Na'am, tafaddal. Yes, I know. One moment. I'll remember. السيل الجرار is the name of the book.
Sheikh Samir, at the time of Nabi Allah Ibrahim alayhi salam, the people used to worship the actual sun, or they used to sculpture the...
No, they used to worship a specific star, the moon, the sun. They used to worship them.
They used to sculpture the shape, or they just...
They worshipped them. I don't know if they did also... I don't know. Wafiq. The people who are what? The angels question those who are buried and those are not buried. Naam Daria.
Different groups, I'm thinking particularly of Itzna, claiming that we should never use the word apostasy, we should never, you know, accuse others of apostasy and so forth.
We should not use the word what?
Not never, but that we should, you know, that people over... Certain groups that call themselves Muslims claim that other Muslims overuse the word apostasy. They jump too quickly on those who commit apostasy. And I was just wondering, is this does this come out of a particular... This is
a general statement.
Yes, I mean it's very common, but does it come from any?
Well, it depends what they mean. I doubt their intentions.
Okay.
but it depends on what they mean. Yes, one should not judge as a Muslim as a blasphemer. One should not rush into judging people as blasphemers without knowledge, unrightfully. Yeah, of course. But when someone is not a Muslim, what do they want to say about him? A Muslim? What do they want to say about him? A Muslim? Those are people who were never humble enough to sit and learn the knowledge of the religion. They only talk about their own opinions. That's it. They don't know what it means to learn. They don't know what's Islam. Many of them. They don't know what's Islam. They know the word. Only the word. أعوذ بالله. What can we do? Which one? I don't know. This is, it's not a question for them so they answer in a wrong way. It's a question, it has the form of a question. While it means, follow me. And while it means, what you are worshipping does not deserve to be worshipped. That's what it means. طيب بارك الله فيكم. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.